Israel and Judah. Chapter 11. The Famine in the Land. Having learned in last week's lesson that Elijah stood on the Mount of Transfiguration as the representative of those who shall be translated at the coming of the Lord, we turn now to a study of the times of Elijah just before his translation. And we shall find in them a representation of the times and the days just before the coming of the Lord and the translation of the righteous who shall then be alive. That there will be a company of people alive on the earth, when the Lord comes, who will hail him with joy and meet him with gladness, is abundantly shown in the Scriptures. Paul says plainly, "This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, go before, them which are asleep, the dead. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Again he says, "We shall not all sleep, not all die, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Where is that saying written? "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." It is plain, therefore, that there will be some righteous on the earth when the Lord comes, but compared with the wicked they will be but few. When the Lord comes, he will take vengeance on the wicked as well as save the righteous. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Thus we see that the two classes, the righteous and the wicked, will be upon the earth when the Lord comes. The wheat and the tares both grow together until the harvest. The harvest is the end of the world. We see by the words of the present lesson that, through the drought, the streams of water and the vegetation had so dried up that the beasts were likely to perish. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, "Go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts." So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now read what Joel says of the time that just precedes the day of the Lord. "Alas for the day! For the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes, yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed is rotten under their clods, the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture, yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to you will I cry, for the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame has burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto you, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness." And in view of it he says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, for it is nigh at hand." Zephaniah says of that time, "The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hastes greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities, and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord." Zephaniah tells exactly why the terrors of this great day come so upon men. It is because they have sinned against the Lord. This is what brought all the trouble in the days of Elijah. For when Ahab cried out to Elijah, "Are you he that troubles Israel?" Elijah replied, I have not troubled Israel, but you, and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed Balaam. And it was because Elijah had held up before the people the commandments of God, and had insisted on obedience to them that he was now accused of troubling Israel. And it was Israel's persistent violation of the commandments that brought upon them all the trouble. Here then, in the days of Elijah, was a controversy over the commandments of God. On one side was Jezebel wielding all the power of the state in behalf of the violation of the commandments. On the other side was Elijah and a few others maintaining the honor of God by strict adherence to the precepts of his law. Now it is the truth that just before the Lord comes there is to be just such another controversy in regard to the commandments of God. The last message to men that the Bible contains is one that warns them against the transgression of the commandments and calls them to keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. This message reads as follows. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, and the faith of Jesus. That this is the very last message to men is shown by the fact that, following in direct connection with this, the prophet says, And I looked, and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in your sickle, and reap, for the time is come for you to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe, the end of the world is come. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. These scriptures show that when the Lord comes in the clouds of heaven, it is to reap the harvest of the earth. That which will fit a people to be gathered as wheat into the garner of God, is the keeping of the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And that by which men make themselves only to be accounted chaff to be burned in the fire, is the worship of the beast and his image. This shows also that to worship the beast and his image is to violate the commandments of God, and so incur his wrath, and that to keep the commandments of God is to excite to oppressiveness the power of the beast and his image. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. We are here making no argument as to what is the beast, nor what is his image, nor what it will be to worship them. We simply draw a parallel between the events of the times of Elijah and those which immediately precede the coming of the Lord. Nor do we here present any argument to show that the coming of the Lord is near. We simply show by the scriptures that, whenever his coming shall be near, then, as in the days of Elijah, the commandments of God will be the one subject of controversy between those who will serve the Lord and those who will not. A.T. Jones.